Whoops-a-daisy, here we go. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Grain of Salt podcast, episode number 11. Here with you, your host for the entirety of the episode, Chef Jason Shepherd, chef owner of Cutting Edge Meals, LLC. All right, we are a in-home meal prep service, doing tons of great things, cooking you healthy food, doing your food shopping, take care of everything for you. This way, you don't have to worry about a thing when you get home, because trust me, we are all busy. I get it. All right. Finally, some nice fucking weather here. It's been kind of a shitty couple weeks here, but I think we're really coming into it. Be sure go do the social media thing, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. Okay, Cutting Edge Meals LLC is where you'll find me. This way, you stay up to date on not only the business stuff but also podcast stuff. Speaking of the podcast stuff, iTunes, Google Play, okay, be sure to go subscribe, give us a follow. Then, again, obviously, you guys can stay up to date on all the goings-on with the podcast. So, good episode today, I think. It's going to be a very in-depth kind of, I don't want to say scientific, but a very specific episode. I want to talk a little bit about bread, and by a little bit I mean this could get lengthy, but I will try my best not to get carried away and jumble this whole thing up with all sorts of science and big words and all that stuff. Okay, but I do want to discuss bread. I think it's important, well, for many reasons, but I mean it's the foundations to life, basically. The basics of eating, the basics of dining. We use not only bread, there's a recipe to make bread itself, but we use bread in recipes, not just here in the States, but I mean, over the whole globe. The basics of economy, which I don't want to get into to that whole debate, but bread is everywhere. All right. I think it's a very important piece to the puzzle, and I will try to make this something that I think we can all understand. Okay, so I first want to kind of discuss, well, what the hell is bread anyways? What makes bread? All right, so bread is basically only a very small amount of ingredients. All right, doesn't take much to get bread going, but it's basically, in my opinion, the simplest, easiest way to do it is four ingredients. It's flour, it's water, it's yeast, and there's salt. All right. I mean, it's four ingredients. You want to get tricky, you just throw some sugar in there as a fifth ingredient, but I'm going to get into all that, okay? So let's talk about flour for a second. I mean, flour in its most basic form, I mean, it's a grain, okay? It could be wheat. It could be a vegetable like corn. It could be a root like cassava, all right? But, I mean, all of these different things are one thing in their own right. So, I mean, right, wheat is a grain. You know, corn is a vegetable, right? That's all fine, well, and good. But from that, we can also make flours, all right? And they function 9 out of 10 times the same way, you know, a wheat flour would function, okay? But, I mean, if you think about it, you know, let's look at something like rye flour. I mean, rye flour is very prevalent in Eastern Europe. Corn flour, very prevalent in Mexico and Latin America. They call it masa. Wheat flour, I mean, wheat flour is kind of the majority of the world. Look at like things like rice flour, all right, obviously part of Asia. But I mean, all these specific ingredients are crops that are being grown or are specific to a culture, are specific to a region, and are specific to a specialized group of people. And it's in the foundation, it's laced into the DNA of those cultures. Okay, I mean, if you look at, for example, Mexican or Latin American cuisine, I mean, corn flour is everywhere. Corn tortillas, I mean, just think about it. It's literally everywhere. And again, that's just how it is. So it's super important in day-to-day life. Okay, water. This is a tricky one, but within reason, I would say. And that's going to be a very large blanket statement, but a fairly easy ingredient to obtain. All right, now I understand that there are parts of the world without access to clean water, and but that's a whole different discussion for a different day. But I mean, H2O, I mean, it's, we are all familiar with water, okay? Yeast, again, basic level, basic form, okay? Yeast is a single-celled microorganism, all right? It's part of the fungus family, but it's, I mean, it's what it is, okay? It's living, all right? It's been around for hundreds of millions of years, and I'm pretty sure there's over 1,500 different species of yeast. So, I mean, yeast functions, or it lives, quote unquote, you know, air quotes here, but it feeds on a carbohydrate. And if you know, you paid attention a minute ago, I was talking about sugar being the fifth ingredient. Well, the sugar becomes the carbohydrate. All right, so you know, you could do regular sugar, you could do sugar in the raw, you could do honey, you could do anything that is sugar in nature. All right, the yeast will feed off of. And basically what happens is it converts the sugar into carbon dioxide and alcohol. So that's the process that we're after here. That's how yeast basically, again, this is very basic stuff. I'm not going to get into, I mean, each of these subjects could be a fucking week-long podcast. So, again, I just want to kind of cover the basics. This way you guys can have the simple things in life here, and we can just kind of march forward. All right. Salt would be the next ingredient. All right, it's effectively sodium chloride, right? It's I mean, we're all familiar with how important salt is. I mean, in too much could be, you know, obviously bad for your heart and for, you know, the rest of your bodily functions and stuff like that. But I mean, it's in our bodies. Like I said, it's everywhere. It's an electrolyte, right? It's also a preservative. All right, so we can use it for many different things, and it's a human taste. All right, it's one of the tastes that we have. Okay. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And you know, again, it's been around for thousands of years. All right. And, or at least it's been used for thousands of years. I mean, it's been around longer than that, I'm sure. Okay. But I mean, by bread, I just want to discuss this for a second. By bread, I mean whole grain, real bread, not this fucking bullshit Wonder Bread that, you know, you drop on the floor and it just collapses because it's so shitty. You know the kind of bread I'm talking about. I mean, real bread, bread that hasn't been refined or made using processed ingredients or all this sort of shitty, you know, bulk purchased flour and all this kind of happy horse shit. All right, that's not what I'm talking about. But real bread, okay? Bread, it's special because what actually happens when we bake the bread, or when we bake bread, I should say, right? The fermentation process of making bread actually breaks down the grain and opens that grain to give us the maximum amount of actual nutrients, okay? So if you take wheat, and the example used is something like porridge, okay? And this is straight from Michael Pollan. So if you're unfamiliar with Michael Pollan, I suggest you get familiar with him because the man's brilliant. But he has a very interesting take on this, okay? But if you take porridge, right, which is basically soaked grains, all right, it would be less healthy, less nutritious than a fermented bread, okay? And the reason for that is because the fermentation process is breaking down the wheat grain and giving us the ability to absorb and process all of the nutrients and other benefits that it has to offer, okay? Sourdough bread would be the best example of this. One, because it takes an extended amount of time to, you know, ferment and become sour, right? Okay, that's something that's more to it than that. But, and it's not only made with yeast, but it's also made with lactobacilli, okay, so, which is a type of bacteria. So there, again, there's more to it than just the basics, right? Okay, I forewarned you that's where we were going with this, but an interesting take on bread, okay? That being said, in my opinion, bread is a foundation of life. It's a building block of life. I mean, bread is everywhere, bread and water, so to speak. You know, you could, I don't want to say live indefinitely, but you could live for a pretty fucking long time just with, you know, basic bread and water. Would it be comfortable? No. Would it be ideal? No. Would you probably be lacking some certain nutritional aspects? Yeah, of course. But it would sustain life is my point, okay? So just an interesting take on bread there, all right? The ingredients being what they are, how does this exactly translate into our day-to-day life, okay? I mean, we could talk about it in the restaurant industry, right? When we go out to eat, we sit down, what's the first thing that's served? It's bread, right? All that kind of good stuff. But, I mean, there's a number of reasons why that's done that way, some of which are true, some of which are legit, and some are not, okay? I mean, this whole notion that they serve you bread to fill you up, I mean, I haven't really experienced that, not in this modern day century at least. That might have been true years ago, but I would highly doubt that at this point, okay? The object being that it's there to stimulate your appetite and kind of just something to do while you're just hanging. Yeah, I mean, I get that. If you caught my episode a couple weeks ago about, stimulating the appetite, right? Some of this might make sense, but all right. So that's bread in the restaurant industry, right? It's what it is, right? It's the first thing served, okay? However, we don't go out to dinner every day. We don't go out to eat every day. So, let's get more specific here. All right. With bread in our day-to-day life. Okay. I mean, honestly, bread can make or break a meal. Okay. Here's what I mean. If you listen to the very fiery sandwich episode, you're going to know where I'm going with this, but bread will define a sandwich. And in fact, I feel very strongly about that. We discussed that ad infinitum in the sandwich episode, but certain breads lend itself better to certain things, okay? For example, grilled cheese, right, which that was a big one. But, there's only one or two types of bread you could use for a grilled cheese, right? You have a grinder or a roll. That's obviously, that's a different thing. A Reuben sandwich, if you don't have a Reuben sandwich on rye bread, that's you're kind of missing the point there, okay? So again, bread will define a sandwich, all right? Again, bread, it's an integral part of certain dishes, okay? So let's take a look, for example, at like a meatball or a meatloaf, all right? Bread and a combination of dairy and eggs, right? But bread, in my opinion, is one of the key ingredients to making sure that your shit doesn't dry out and become all like sawdust and just hard like a rock, okay? It holds that moisture. It allows that dish, i.e. the meatball or the meatloaf, to be juicy and moist and just delicious. And again, if you've had a well-prepared meatball or meatloaf, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Again, bread is not the only thing that does that, but it's a very good piece to that puzzle, okay? But why is bread so curious? I mean, bread is just one of those things described earlier, right? I was talking about. This does not have many ingredients. And frankly, nor does it have very complicated directions. However, I find that it's super hard to come by very good or excellent bread, all right? Bread is one of those, I call it a hybrid thing, right? You can get into the whole argument that baking and pastry is more of a science, right? Very specific with the measurements and all this fucking bullshit. But cooking is very artistic, right? I mean, there are rules and regulations in terms of food that we need to follow when we cook. But for the most part, savory cooking, it's an art, okay? It's understanding flavors and all this kind of stuff. It's a science too, sure, but it's more of an art form. Okay, it's when you can understand how the two of those, arts and science, come together, that's when you can really start to create. That's when you understand the recipe, and I use the recipe as the all-encompassing word here, but when you understand the art and the science of bread, that's when it really starts to shine. That's when, that's the difference between a decent loaf of bread and an excellent loaf of bread. Again, my opinion, all right? Most people can fucking follow directions. That's not hard to do, all right? If you can read, you can probably follow directions. But It's actually understanding the process, understanding how this stuff works, how it goes together, why it goes together, why it doesn't go together. Okay, the example I've always used in the past when trying to explain this to someone, it's, you know, if you take a test in school or something like that, and you copy the answers off someone, all right? Maybe you copy the answers off of the smartest kid in the class. Maybe you copy. Maybe you got the answers. Maybe you're cheating, little fucking bastard you are. But either way, you got the right answers. You're just copying them. Okay, that's great. You got the right answers. You passed the test. Congratulations. However, that doesn't end there. What happens the next time you're tested? Maybe it's not a test as in a physical sitting down taking a test in school. Maybe that is a practical application in life. Maybe you're at your job or what, you know, whatever the case may be. What happens then? Well, you copied the answers last time. There's no answers here, okay? On the other hand, if you sat down and understood the process, you understood the formula, you know why it worked. Again, you know why it didn't work. You know what goes together, what doesn't go together, how different ingredients interact with other ingredients. You're not only going to get the right answer on the test, assuming that you've put it all together correctly, but you're going to be able to replicate that over and over. And I think it's that deep understanding of how all that works that makes the difference, okay? I mean, we can sit here and talk for hours and hours and hours about bread, and honestly, there's so many different kinds of bread, and it would just be me sitting here listing different kinds of bread, which, frankly, would be boring, all right? But there's also many different methods of making bread, and I mean, it's bread is an all-encompassing subject, and there's been thousands of books, there's been thousands of movies, documentaries, you know, all that kind of stuff about bread. But I do want to kind of leave it there. Just one, I don't want to have a 6-hour long episode, but two, again, it's also a subjective thing. You know, some people might not like rye bread, or some people might not like the crust to be super crusty, or, you know, again, you can figure out your own method of the direction you want to head with it, but I just wanted you to be able to understand a little bit about what bread is in its most basic form, where it comes from, how it interacts with us on a day-to-day life, you know, in our day-to-day lives, stuff like that, okay? So what sparked this whole thing, you know, an email question, okay, getting back to our regular format here, you know, again, I past couple episodes have been a little bit, you know, all over the place, but there are certain things that just came up, and I could not pass it up. I kind of had to talk about it, okay? But the email was, what is the best way to, you know, preserve bread or stop it from going stale? The simple answer is, it's never going to happen. Bread will go stale. It's just how it is. But the best way to do it is, don't put it in the fridge, but put it in the freezer, okay? Best way to do that, okay? If you make bread, allow it to cool, all right? If you're going to use bread for, like, sandwiches, or it's going to be sliced at some point, slice it first. It will make life 1,000 times easier. But what you're going to want to do is, you're going to want to double wrap the bread, either in 2 plastic bags, right? Make sure it fits. Freezer bags, right? Whatever you have, all right? Or you could even do, like, a heavy-duty plastic film, something like that, okay? The object here, though, is you want to make sure that the bread is completely sealed, okay? You want the best barrier you can possibly have between the bread and air. It's air that gives it that freezer burn and all that kind of shit that just completely fucks your bread, okay? The flavor, or maintaining the best flavor, all right, that's going to be at the 1-month mark. Anything more than that, it will work. It'll last for a few months. But when you go to defrost it, it will be very subpar, okay? And the best place to keep the bread in the freezer is in the warmest part of the freezer. Understandably so, put it in the door, okay? Especially if you're going to be using it for sandwiches and stuff like that. What are you going to do, dig in your fucking freezer every, you know, 3 days to get some, you know, bread? It just doesn't make sense, okay? So put it in the door, keep it there. There's easy access, and again, it's the best place to keep it there, okay? A couple things about the reverse of that, defrosting the bread, right? In my opinion, the best way to do it is to just leave it out for a few hours. If you have to do it, don't microwave it. That's very bad. That just fucks everything up in many different ways. But I would just leave it out and let it come to room temperature on its own. Or you could just put it in the oven for a little bit and toast it up that way. All right, but that's gonna ensure the best possible way to do it. Okay, this week's recipe. Okay, this is gonna be slightly long winded, but it coincides perfectly with what we're talking about here. So this is per King Arthur Flour. Okay, this is not my recipe, so let's understand that. But this is, according to King Arthur Flour, the easiest bread recipe ever. Okay, so you have 1 packet of active dry yeast. Okay, or 2 1/4 teaspoons, rather, of instant yeast. Okay, 1 tablespoon of sugar, 1 tablespoon of salt, 2 cups lukewarm water. Okay, if you want to be super specific, nothing over 110 degrees Fahrenheit. You're going to be looking for anywhere from 5.5 to 6 cups of King Arthur unbleached all-purpose flour. Unbleached flour, in my opinion, is better than the bleached stuff because you're not altering the flavor and the texture and the taste of the flour. You're just leaving it as is. You're not taking its natural color out or anything like that with all sorts of fucking harsh chemicals. So, okay. And then you'll need, some semolina or cornmeal, or you can use the regular flour to sprinkle on the pan. Okay, so what you're going to want to do, you're going to mix all the ingredients together until it starts to, like, pull off the edges of the bowl. All right, once it starts to kind of mix all together, you'll see it. Okay. What then you're going to do is you're going to take the preformed dough basically out of this bowl, and you're going to put it onto a floured surface, and you're going to knead it for 5 to 7 minutes. All right. Don't just knead it in one direction. Kind of spin it around and kind of go at it, from a couple of different directions. Okay. Once it's done that, it should kind of come together. All right. You're going to put it back into a greased bowl. Use the same bowl. Just make sure it's greased. All right. You're going to cover it with, greased plastic wrap. You just don't want anything to stick and rip the dough. All right. You're going to let it rise 1 to 2 hours. Okay. And it should double in size. But the object here is you don't want to put it in a drafty place. You want it to be warm. All right. I usually do mine on top of the stove. You could, if your kitchen's warm enough, put it inside the oven. Off. The oven is off. Okay, just to kind of protect it. It keeps a little warmer in there, and that's maybe a decent way to put it, okay? So you're going to remove the dough from the bowl, okay? You're going to divide it, cut it in half, then you shape it into 2 loaves, okay? It's up to you. You can make, like, an Italian loaf. You can make a French loaf. You could, like a grinder-type roll. You do whatever you want, okay? Just shape it, all right? And then you're going to put it, like I said, you're going to take a sheet pan or a sheet tray. The cornmeal is semolina, or you could even do flour. And then you're going to put the 2 pieces of dough on that sheet tray, and you're going to let it rise for, again, another 45 minutes. All right, cover it with, like, greased plastic wrap. Again, you don't want anything to really stick, okay? Once that happens, 425-degree oven, 25 to 35 minutes, all right? The best way, in my opinion, to tell, and this has nothing to do with the recipe, but when you are ready to tell if your bread is done or not, the best way to do it is to take up the loaf or the roll or whatever you're making, turn it upside down, and just tap on it with your middle finger. It should sound very hollow and kind of, I don't want to say empty inside, but if you've ever heard it, it's a good sound. You'll know that's when the dough is done. It should almost echo. All right, that means the dough is cooked. Or take a temperature at 190 degrees. Your call. Okay. But then you're going to remove the loaves of bread. You're going to put it on a cooling rack. That's important. If you don't have a cooling rack, you can open the oven, keep it off, and let the bread cool. Let the loaves of bread cool on the oven racks themselves. But the object here is you don't want to create moisture or condensation. All right, the steam from the bread, you want it to have complete circulation and just cool down completely, okay? So, again, very basic. It's the easiest bread recipe you'll ever make. All right, easy to do. It's just a little time-consuming and needs a little bit of elbow grease, but I'm sure you guys could do it, all right? Some food news. Interesting stuff here today. I don't know where to start. Let's start here. So Subway, right? The fucking sandwich place. Who... I don't know where I stand on them. Some days I love it, some days I hate it. Used to love it, used to eat it all the time. I don't know. Anyways, besides the point. So they're actually headquartered here in Connecticut, but news out this week here says Subway to shut down hundreds of U.S. locations. All right, so I thought that was kind of interesting. I wonder where they're going, but they are going to invest a little bit more abroad. So that's interesting. One, two, they also said that they want to focus on now location as opposed to just oversaturating. Cause I don't know if you pay attention to it, but sometimes there's like a Subway every fucking 100 feet. It's kind of ridiculous. It's like how Dunkin' Donuts used to do it. It's very interesting to, or you know, it's like a fucking Starbucks on every corner in the city. It's very weird. I don't know why or how that works, but they're all franchised. So, I mean, I don't know how that's going to work. That's, you know, different particulars. That's not my business. To discuss, but so I thought that was interesting there. But in my opinion, shouldn't you always focus on the location? I don't know. It's just my thought. But anyways, that's Subway news. Okay, and the second one, this I found interesting. Interesting, ironic, sad that it's not this way. Well, I have a reason why it's not this way. But McDonald's launches Chicken Sustainability Council. So just let that sink in for just a hot minute. McDonald's launches Chicken Sustainability Council. That's the most fucking ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Let's be honest. McDonald's is not known for their quality of food. I mean, I'm guilty as charged. I like fast food as much as the next person. But we have to know going into it that we're not going to McDonald's for the fucking healthy salad with the oil and vinegar dressing. We're going to McDonald's because we want a Big Mac or some fucking disgusting sandwich or greasy fries or get our high fructose corn syrup soda or, you know, whatever. We know that going into it. So I find it kind of ironic that now all of a sudden they give a shit about the chickens. I mean, frankly, they should have been doing that a while ago. But besides the point, it's comprised of many different people from both sides of the aisle. Whole bunch of animal activists and people from McDonald's. So I'm curious to see where that goes. I'd like to see it take off. Obviously that would be ideal, right? You know, treat the animals better, then you get a better product in the end. It seems logical to me, but then again, what do I know? All right, so just something to keep in mind. All right, last thing here I'm going to talk about before, you know, we sign off is, you know, I started a new segment a couple weeks ago called Today at the Grocery Store. This fucking place never ceases to amaze me, honestly. It's literally, it's an amazing place, the grocery store. It's amazing for a few different reasons, but it's amazing for amusement. It's amazing to see and deal with people that you never thought you would ever have to deal with. So, two things. One, I was sitting at the, and this is a Whole Foods story, so fuck it. I mean, Whole Foods, let's get with the program here. But I was sitting at the meat counter waiting. I had my list, and these people know me by now. I mean, for Cutting Edge Meals, right, I do all the grocery shopping. I'm in Whole Foods literally 4 days a week. Literally at a bare minimum three, but most likely 4 days a week, okay? So they know who I am. I go to the same Whole Foods all 3-4 days, whatever it is that week, okay? So they know who I am. They know what I do. That's what pisses me off even more. It's fucking unbelievable. Granted, I was in at an awkward time. It was not my usual time, but besides the point, they're there to serve the customer. But this one dude is helping someone, sees me take a number, skips right over me because he knows I have a long list of stuff, takes the next person after me, and then walks away after he's done helping the second customer. Okay, the kid kind of sucks anyways, and I don't like dealing with him, so dick move, bro, but I'm not going to get all excited about it. However, there's this other lady standing behind the counter. She's as nice as, I mean, she's wonderfully nice, always smiling, but that only gets you so far. She is dumb as a fucking bag of dog shit, and I don't mean to be mean, but it's true. She sees me standing there waiting, and she's just sitting there talking to this customer. And she must have known the customer from maybe outside of work or whatever the case may be, but she was talking to him about family and friends and who's going. I don't know what they were talking about, but it was not anything to do with what you're going to get from the meat counter. I know that much. But, like, what the fuck? If you want to have a conversation with someone that bad, it's the store was not busy. I was literally the only one standing at the meat counter at this point. But the audacity to look at me, see me waiting there after I follow the rules and take a number, and then you're still going to stand there and bullshit with someone else? Unbelievable. Anyways, second thing that happened, and this is also a Whole Foods thing, and I don't know, I don't mean to just shit on Whole Foods today either, it's just kind of how it works, but it happens in Trader Joe's actually too. That's actually a good point. I don't know why you people think you're so fucking special for shopping at Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, but dude, your shit stinks too. You put your pants on one leg at a time. Just because you shop at Whole Foods or Trader Joe's does not make you some sort of fucking rock star, okay? Fuck you, all right? Do not act or walk around the store like you are, you know, owning it, or like you're some sort of Jeff Bezos, you know, $140 billion net worth, okay? Just fucking relax. You're not that special, trust me. Nobody likes you that much either, all right? Nobody has the heart to tell you that, but I'm telling you that. The rudeness of people is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And again, this is not the only place this happens, but it happens everywhere. But, I mean, they walk in front of you, they cut you off, they don't say excuse you, or I say excuse me when I'm trying to walk by them, and they just give me a dirt, like, what am I, a fucking asshole? Unbelievable, these people. Anyways, you see a whole bunch of interesting things. Like I said, I'm there 4 days a week. It's monumentally interesting just to kind of see what actually goes on. It's the general public, but either way, grocery store, this week at the grocery store segment. So hopefully you learned a little bit from that little story. All right, so signing off here, okay? Hopefully the information you've heard here serves you well, okay? You know, maybe you found it interesting. Maybe you didn't. Maybe don't give a shit about bread. All right, maybe you don't like bread, the weirdo, but maybe that's the case. I don't know. But tune in next time, right? Episode 11 coming at you soon. Again, iTunes, Google Play, go there, follow us. You'll be able to see everything that we have going on. A couple of exciting things on the horizon. All right, I'm thinking about the end of June, early July to start releasing some of this exciting information. I don't want to let the cat out of the proverbial bag quite yet, okay, but a lot of exciting things coming on, okay? So again, Instagram, Cutting Edge Meals LLC, definitely be sure to go there and give a follow, all right? That I post podcast stuff and business stuff there, so you get kind of the best of both worlds, but definitely go check it out, all right? Like I said, iTunes, Google Play, and then in the meantime, all right, we will see you in about a week or two. Cheers.